Hallelujah. Let's lift up a big shout to Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. We worship you. Thank you. Glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated, beloveds. Well done for so many of you turning out. Brilliant. This is the first night of our school of prayer. This isn't Prayer Mountain. This is a school of prayer that teaches you how to climb up Prayer Mountain. Is that okay? It's a bit of a difference, which I'll explain hopefully in a minute. Basically, there's a few different things to say. A couple of practicalities is, this is where we're going to learn to pray. I suppose the first thing to say is this. The teacher who's going to teach you how to pray from his years and years of experience is the Holy Spirit. Does that sound good? The Holy Spirit. Should we welcome him then? The Holy Spirit! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and be the teacher on these nights. We truly invite you in to come and convict us and speak to us and illuminate us and inspire us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were specifically spoken of as the one who helps us when we're weak in prayer. And Lord, that's us. We don't know how to pray. We're not good at praying. But thank you that you come and help us learn to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul specifically said, we do not know, and isn't it good to be on the same level as the apostles? We do not know how to pray. Anyone say amen to that? We do not know how to pray as we ought. This is the apostle Paul. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And he puts within us the words and groans through us and so on, so that we can learn to pray. Fantastic. So our teacher on these nights truly is the Holy Spirit. Quite a few years ago, Margaret had a very vivid dream when we were still in the Oakwood Centre. She dreamt that there was a classroom full of people. And in this classroom, they were learning to pray. And on the wall, it said, the first English school of prayer. She was looking around this classroom and thought, wow, this is really weird. And it was quite sort of prescriptive. Everyone had prayer books. They were learning to pray with prayer books. Mark thought, "Well, this is an interesting dream." And she turned around to see who was teaching the class, and it was the Holy Spirit. Do you know, honestly, I believe she saw tonight and other nights that we'll be doing here. I honestly believe that. The Holy Spirit, to begin this revival and to fuel this revival, is going to be our prayer teacher. You know that in true church history that there's no revivals without a lot of prayer. And revivals that keep going through prayer. You know, Yongyi Chow says that when you pray, it's like putting your foot on the accelerator of the car. Any church or Christian, it's putting their foot on the accelerator of the car. It creates power, momentum, force, direction. Pray, 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 pray. He said, when you stop praying, you take your foot off the accelerator. What happens is a slow down process. At first, you think, oh, it doesn't make any difference. God's still with me. Holy Spirit's still moving. Things still happening. But actually, you're slowing down. That's why revivals stop. It's why moves of the Holy Spirit stop. It's why church growth stalls. It's why we stumble and backslide. It is. It's because we stop praying. It's directly connected to that. So we want to have momentum, don't we, in our lives, and we need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher and help us. Billy Graham, speaking about the revival in Korea, said the Korean church has set for us a goal of perennial revival because it just keeps going and going and going. And one of the reasons is they have prayer mountains. I mean, over there, they literally have mountains of prayer. Actually, lots of churches have them, but I think Yongyi Chow's was the first or one of the first, where they literally bought a mountain and it was their graveyard, actually. It was a bit of land that they used to bury the Christians who died. But they sort of turned it into a prayer center and a prayer chapel, and people go up the mountain, spend weekends of prayer and all-night prayer, and in the end they built a big auditorium and things. And they have sort of grottos, little prayer rooms dug into the mountain where you can have your own grotto and buy your own grotto if you want, or you can go and hire one out for the weekend and go and just be totally on your own with God. Wow. Sort of a bit scary, weird, awesome as well. You know, I felt, as you know, and I'm not going to recap on this for you too much because I've said it a few times, but you know that I had an encounter with God about Everest a couple of years ago. And God spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, an 8,000-meter church, that's us. An 8,000-meter church. Exactly what that means, I'm not quite sure. But it must have something to do with prayer, for sure. There's only a few 8,000-meter mountains in the world. They're all in the Himalayas, they're all in Nepal and Tibet. But God wants us to be an 8,000-meter church, whether that's 8,000 people or 8,000 meters in terms of influence, world fame, or maybe influence or preciousness in God's sight, I don't know. Maybe not unknown, but it's an 8,000-meter church in God's sight in terms of holiness and authenticity and prayer. I don't know. But I know the Holy Spirit said to me, an 8,000-meter church. That's how he said it. And thought, oh, I was studying about Everest. You're studying about Everest now, eh, bro? The kids must do it every year. And one of their lads is a year younger than ours, so they're studying about Everest. But and you're reading Bear Grylls as well. Awesome. So out of all that, anyway, God's given me this sort of vision to a conviction to help, you know, to be an instrument through the Holy Spirit teaches us, but to do my bit as well, to help teach us as a church how to pray. And I know there's some great prayers here, don't get me wrong, that I can't hold a candle to. But I have been taught how to pray. I was taught early as a young Christian. And I'd like to teach you what I was taught. Because the longer I'm a leader, the more I think, actually, no one teaches people the basics anymore. But I was taught from being very young Christian, partly because I was, brought saved in the Catholic, in the charismatic renewal, but I was within the Catholic Church. So actually, my sort of ignorance about the Bible, well, my ignorance about anything, actually, I was a punk rocker, but my ignorance about the Bible and God and church, and definitely the evangelical church, didn't know anything about it, actually quite, it's helped me in the end. In this area, it has, because I started looking where a good Catholic would look for inspiration at the saints. I started looking at their lives, and I saw that there were several things that they all did. They all prayed a lot. They all had a very disciplined, clear prayer life. And actually, when I've come into the charismatic evangelical church, I see exactly the same from the saints here. You won't find a saint in church history, be it Elizabeth Fry or Jonathan Edwards or anyone in all of church history who's done anything for God and didn't have a significant prayer life. Would you like to be among them? Because honestly, you can. It is really possible to be taught to pray, really pray. It is. Of course it is, or Jesus wouldn't have said. And I said to the leaders a little bit earlier, you know, isn't it interesting that the apostles said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. It's fascinating to me that. What's fascinating is the things they didn't ask to be taught. They never said, Lord, teach us to preach. Not once. They never said, Lord, teach us to do miracles. No. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to walk on water. Lord, teach us to heal the sick. They might have asked those things, but apparently they weren't important enough for the Holy Spirit to put them in the Bible. But this was. The Holy Spirit made it very clear in every gospel that the disciples went through this process of being taught to pray. Right? You with me? So it's not just a spiritual thing that happens to you. Do you understand? I am not going to just wake up slim one day. Do you believe that? So do I. I'm not going to wake up slim one day. If I'm ever going to be slim, dream of dreams, then it's going to take some work, some discipline, and some inspiration. It's the same with learning anything, anything. You have to start somewhere, really prescriptive, told what to do, and what, and then I put my foot where, and there, and there, and there. You know, if you're going to learn to dance, then you need to know exactly where to put your feet, and you go, or if you're going to learn to sing, or you're going to learn to, there are disciplines, aren't there? There's disciplines to learn to pray. There really is. The apostles were with Jesus, born again. Wonderful. They were Jews. They were used to pray. But there was something they saw in Jesus' relationship with his Father. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he didn't go all spiritual on them. He didn't say, we must clear the heavens and send the angels forth against the enemy of the... He just didn't. Even though that actually has got something to do with prayer later on. He started where you should start. Giving them words in their mouths. Okay, you want to learn to pray? Fine. When you pray, say, after me, lads, our Father who is in heaven, he gave them a prayer, right? He gave them a prayer. There it is. They wrote it down. The Holy Spirit recorded it for us. That's significant. He taught them with words to begin to pray, to relate to God as a Father, and he started to give them prayers. Honestly, this is not dry. This is how you learn to pray. You have to have some discipline and to be taught because it's what Jesus did and it's what the early church did. And there's loads of church history to back this, but you just, you know, it's a fact. You have to be taught. You have to be willing to be taught and you have to really want to. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us want to, doesn't he? Otherwise, prayer just sounds really scary. I mean, doesn't that look scary to you? I get up in the morning, and I don't want to do that, do you? Oh, yeah, I can't wait. That's what prayer normally looks like to most people. You know, you hear some people, I get up in the morning, I prayed for 3 hours, you think, I feel ill thinking about it. It just sounds terrible. Unless I begin way down somewhere else and have a real good friend to be my prayer partner called the Holy Spirit and help me every step of the way until I get addicted to it, right? Do you know what? He's the truth. You can get addicted to that. That guy, to be there, he's addicted. Definitely. He's addicted. It's cost him to get there. Do you think he's been, do you think he started mountaineering yesterday, this guy? No, he didn't. He started climbing somewhere real small and learned a few important things about ropes and knots and boots and stuff. And someone taught him. You don't do that. Now, he's probably awesome. He'll make his own decisions up there. There's no instructor to help him. He'll have to decide, do I go down that way? It looks a bit dodgy or that way. You'll have to decide yourself. Shall I use rope? Shall I use this? Shall I use that? You know what? When you become an awesome prayer person, you can just use what you like. But I'd like to give you some structure to help you. And I'm telling you that within 6 months to 1 year, you can be a person who prays as much as you would like to on that given day. You can't do it right now, honestly. Well, maybe you can with a big blast of the Holy Spirit. Who am I to say? But in my experience, you probably can't unless you've done it. If you've done it, you know you can do it again. If you've done it and know how to do it, that's very different. You know, if you go to the gym, this is how this school of prayer is going to work. We're going to come here and for 20 minutes, half an hour, we're going to have praise. As much praise as we can. Praise and thanks to breakthrough. Okay, in the presence of God. Just be in the presence of God. Then I'm going to do teaching for half an hour. Inspiring you to pray and giving you some practical things. Then we're going to use the second hour to actually pray through together some of this stuff. And you know what? I've put in here, what we'll do with these is, it is prescriptive, but it's like, this is like going to the gym to a class, isn't it? This is like going to be like a class. We'll do half an hour of very prescriptive or an hour of very prescriptive praying. Now do this, now do that, now do this, now do that. Why do people do that? Because they won't do it on their own. That's why. They need someone to tell them what to do. Pick up that bar, but don't pick it up yet. Pick it up in 3, 2, 1. Yay! And they turn the music up. Keep going. Don't stop. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Okay, let it go. All right, lie on the floor. Lie on the floor. Lie on the floor. This is what this class is going to be like. Fun and painful. And then you breathe, get ready, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. They're going to do it again. What they're doing, they're actually training them in a very effective way, actually, how to do something they would never do on their own. And do you know what? Here's the truth with any habit. When you do it enough, you start hating it, right? And it hurts. Then you go because you are determined to go. Then you go because you're getting into it. And then you can't not go. Isn't that true? It's true. You start with, I go spinning to, I love spinning, don't you? Well, apparently some people do. Some of you wouldn't know, but some of you do. The thing is, it's like that with any discipline, with learning an instrument, with it, and you think, oh no, prayer's spiritual. Oh no, actually it isn't. In that respect, it isn't. It is and it isn't. You need to learn to pray. And that means doing some things every day until you can't not. And you build on it, right? You build on it. So this is the vision the Holy Spirit has given me. And, you know, I've had some really strong prophetic words to show me that it really is the Holy Spirit to encourage us in it. But, so here's where, so this is going to be the aim of this 6 months class, okay? This is the aim of this 6 months. Now, I think you can get here in 6 months. Doesn't matter if it takes a year. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters as long as you learn to pray and you're loving it, right? Because it'll utterly change your life, for starters. And if we're all praying, it'll change many things if this many people stay with this class. Many, many things. So have you got a PowerPoint there, bro, of things? So here's where we'll start. Rosby topping. Who loves Rosby topping? Okay. Rosby topping is 300 meters. So we're going to do this in stages together, okay? 300 meters. Now, 300 meters, you might think, well, there's Mount Everest, it's 8,000 meters. What's 300 meters? That text isn't very good, is it? But I'll read. But thank you for doing the PowerPoint, whoever did it, Becca, I think, or someone, because you only did it today. Chris was meant to do it, but they had a baby, didn't they? Did you hear? Yeah. Yay! Babies everywhere. Anyway. This is Rosby topping. This is an aim for us, and this may take us, you know, a month, okay? A month to get here. And I tell you what, you get here, this will change your life. If you go up Rosby topping, cars look like little toys, don't they? You see the whole of Tees Valley before you. Your perspective is totally changed. I'm telling you, you get to 300 meters in prayer, and everything's going to change for you. I tell you it will. What is 300 meters in prayer? Well, for us in this course, this is just me. This isn't in the Bible, actually. You won't find Rosby topping in the Bible. This is just, you know, to something to hang the aims on, okay? Rosby topping, half an hour of prayer and attend the school of prayer. And you pray every morning and evening prayer, which is in here for you, okay? That's quite a challenge, isn't it? That's quite a challenge, very challenging. To pray for half an hour every day. And, you know, we're saying every day while you're on this school, okay? Because what will happen by the end of the school is you'll do different things different days. Some days you'll be ill and you won't pray. So what? You get the chairlift of grace up the mountain, okay? That's fine. But if you live in that chairlift, you're losing the battle of Christianity. You are. You're wasting your life, actually. To be able to pray for half an hour a day, effectively, not sitting dribbling into your coffee waiting for the time to finish, but I'm on about knowing what you're doing, and like one of those classes, bang, by the clock, do 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 ding, done. And be able to pray morning and evening every day with your spouse, or if you're single with the Lord, you know, it's fine. But that, and attend this school of prayer. If you do that and you conquer that, then you are at Rosby Topping, you're at 300 meters, Paul's arranged to give you a tattoo when you rave. No, money can. You can have T-shirts, tattoos if you want. Of 300, I climbed Rosby Toppin in prayer. Okay, the tattoo's a joke. Some of you look worried. Okay, Rosby Toppin, 300 metres. So should we aim to get there together? Okay. Then we'll go higher. Okay, so the next one is something else. Next one is something else. Awesome. Snowdon is 1,000 metres. It's in Wales. And here's what 1,000 metres looks like in this school of prayer. You're praying for 1 hour a day. You're fasting for 24 hours once a month. You're attending the school of prayer, and you're doing morning and evening prayer. Do you think that, in your wildest dreams, might be manageable? Whoa. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, well, we'll go back to Rosie Topman in a minute. But anyway, let me tell you, this is well manageable. To be able to pray 1 hour every day is well manageable, and fast one day a month. And you do morning and evening prayer, and you attend the school of prayer so that you're inspired, you learn, and you learn how to do it. Okay? Then we'll go higher. This is the Eiger. This is in the Alps. This is what Ian flew over and looked at and thought was awesome. It's about 3,000 metres. Not exactly these heights, but the closest mountains I could find to these, this sort of, increasing gradient thing. Pray 1 day of prayer and fasting a month. Okay. Someone's added a few words into my text here. But anyway, it's 1 day of prayer a month, one fast 1 day a month, 1.5 hours of prayer a day, attend the school of prayer, and you pray every morning and evening. You kick off your day with God. You end your day with God. Believe me, by this time, you'll be doing that anyway. And you attend the school of prayer. You'll be absolutely buzzing. You'll be absolutely flying. You'll have loads of different prayers to go through and prayer patterns to do that will fill an hour and a half easy. And you can do half an hour at the beginning of the day, an hour at the end of the day, or whatever you want. You do 3 half-hours. You can do whatever you like. But this is the aim. This is the goal, to be really, I think all the leaders in our church can live here. Basically live here. Of course, you can do what you like. And this isn't legalistic, right? This isn't aim to help us go somewhere. This is showing you where you can become. So this is like a load of fatties sat in a class and me showing you pictures of six packs now, okay? And you can have this six pack, right? I know it looks like, I don't think I ever can. You can. You can. Apparently. Anyway. Okay, and then there's, this is Kilimanjaro in Africa. Oh, yeah, thank you. Stop me if I'm getting anything. Go back 1 day of prayer and fast in a month. You can go back to the thing if you want. Oh, I can just leave that still there. Sorry, they all look the same. 1 day of prayer a month is this. 1 day a month, you're going to give the day to the Lord. And you're going to go for a walk up the hills. Are you going to go for, sit in the car by the river? But are you going to spend 3, 4, 5 hours, okay, with the Lord? This is what I learned to do pretty early on as a Christian when I was in a monastery, which does help. When I'd already built up, from morning and evening prayer and praying for an hour every day when I was a young kid, when I was like Luke's age, just above Luke's age, 17 years old. When I was 17 years old, my dad threw me out of the house and went to live in a bedsit. And I was praying then, I was already praying. So I'd be praying for an hour every day then and reading for an hour every day as well. Spiritual reading for an hour. So reading a good Christian book or something in the Bible and then praying for an hour every day. I mean, I was unemployed, so it helped. But you know what? I was doing it at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I could have had a job easy. But so by the time I got to the monastery, I was pretty used to praying. I mean, this was daily for me, and that was a small day. I had prayer meetings and all sorts going on. Services, church. I was in the presence of God. I was worshiping. I was praying all the time. And obviously, I wanted to be a full-time minister. Those days, I was just parting with the Catholic Church, actually, and realizing that, actually, I don't think it's here. But I was already on. I'd already committed to do these 3 months in this monastery, okay? Which, actually, I'm really glad I did. Partly because it made me surrender Margaret to the Lord and give up our relationship, which God always gives you back once you've surrendered something better. And partly because I learned some of the stuff about prayer. Mainly these prayer days, really, where they give you a lump of cheese and a bit of bread and some water and say, there's the forest, there's the quarries. It was in the middle of Wales. See you at tea time. Which to me was a bit spooky because, I'd seen too many werewolf movies. I was scared of forests. So I'd like, you sure? Boom. You know, these are the days of before mobile phones or anything. You didn't have anything else to do. So, and then you can go and spend the day with the Lord. A day is a long time, you know, on your own. But I tell you, you get to know God in those days in a whole different way. And I want to encourage you and teach you how you can do that. Actually, it's not a lot of teaching, really. You just commit the time, go. And, you know, you're not praying all day. You're just saying, right, God, the day's yours. I'm here. And you'd be amazed what happens. You have visions and God speaks to you and God comes and more. You give time to God. God likes it, you know. God actually likes you, you know. He likes you. When you give time to him, he rushes into fantastic. I'd love to meet you for a coffee, Martin. What time? 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll be there. Jesus loves you very much. And as you give dedicated time to the Lord, you become a significant person in the body of Christ and leader, and you become a person of God. You know what it is to be on your own with God. That's what Jesus did all the time, wasn't it? All the time. Jesus, do you think Jesus was spiritual? Sinless? Had all the answers? Apparently, he still needed to pray, according to him. And when all the stuff was happening, the crowds were coming to him. I read today in my daily readings, it said, the crowds were coming to be healed from every town in Judea. The crowds were increasing, But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Often withdrew to lonely places, the other version said, to pray. Often. It's not like, oh yeah, now and again he spends the night. No. There's lots of stuff happening. Where's Jesus? Where's he? He's gone. He's having a prayer day. He is. Why? Because Jesus knew that's where real long-term power comes from. Not actually from a conference, as awesome as that was. That's tremendous refreshing. That's not the answer for revival. This is. It is. Not from baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anyone agree? Moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't enough. Jesus, aren't you going to go and pray today? No, I don't need to. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, that wasn't Jesus' attitude at all. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's gone again. He's going to get, tell the crowds, laughed away. Peter, go and find him. He's up the hills somewhere. Lord, everyone's looking for you. Oh, hey, lads. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Jesus was always going up these mountains. Always. Always. Because that is a key to successful Christian life. It's a key that many of us in the charismatic and evangelical church have never used properly. Or we just step into prayer meetings and get all into intercession, which is awesome, but don't have this underlying foundation of daily prayer. And I know some of you do. I really do know that. But anyway, so Mount Kilimanjaro is... I'm 5 more minutes, then we're going to pray. You'll be glad to know. Mount Kilimanjaro is 5,000 meters. We're getting there now. This is on the way. This is, okay, these what I think this should be as well. 1 week of prayer a year. 1 day of prayer a month. 2 days of fasting a month. 2 hours of prayer a day. You attend the school of prayer. And by then you might be teaching on the school of prayer, sharing on the school of prayer. And you pray every morning and evening, which will be taken without, you know, can you see you're building this? Can anyone see you're building this? You're building it, you're building it, you're building it. If this looks scary, it isn't after you've done Rosemary Topping for 3 months. It isn't. And this is, you know, you're really giving yourself to prayer now. You're living a life of prayer. You are blocking off a week of your year. And we could do it together. You know, we could have a prayer week here, couldn't we, in Amazing Grace? Have a prayer week where we have early morning prayer meetings every morning that week, where we have an all-night prayer meeting or something, where you've given yourself to extra prayer that week, maybe an extra fast or something, I don't know, but you've dedicated that week to seeking the Lord, maybe doing some repenting, turning away from missing telly for a week, I don't know, we can get creative and you can ask the Holy Spirit yourself, but where we dedicate together a week of prayer and seeking the Lord. Does that sound exciting? It's awesome, isn't it? 1 day of prayer and fast, 1 day a month, out somewhere with the Lord, 2 days of fasting, 2 hours of prayer day, School of Prayer. And then there's Everest, which might be, you know what, I was going to say, maybe this is the full-time ministers. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, you know. But 1 week of prayer, one day of prayer out a month, one fasting once a week now, 3 hours of prayer day, which sounds like a lot. And it, you know what, it is a lot. It is a lot. But if you do that, you have a really good day. And you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do any of these every day. You might say, I went up Everest this month. I had a day off and I went up Everest. It was awesome. I went through the prayer things in here on the morning and on the night. I had a prayer meeting with some friends for an hour. I prayed for 3 hours. That's awesome. And but this is just a way of helping us. And then you're leading the school of prayer. By then, I'm anticipating this place is going to be full of people wanting to pray if we're going to have revival. I'm anticipating there's going to be halls of thousands of people learning how to pray, brand new believers. Brand new believers need to be taught this more than anything else. They need to be taught to have their own personal relationship with Jesus more than anything else. I bet my bottom dollar, half of the problems of your life will disappear if you give yourself to daily prayer and coming before God and speaking to God and bringing your issues to God and being in the presence of God. It's impossible for it not to. Impossible. The hard thing is to start with the discipline. Okay, after three, pick up this bar when you've never picked it up. Now, it might only be Rosby Chapman, but it feels heavy. So, are you with me? Does it sound okay? Anyway, that's what we're going to try and do. And it's not about really building up to the point where I'm an Everest person, I'm there every single day. Man, if you are, you're probably called to prayer. I've got a lot of free time. That's awesome. But let me tell you something about climbing Mount Everest. Anyone who's ever done it, Bear Grylls, knows he has done it. He can do it again. Right? If you climb the Eiger, you know you have done it. You can do it again. You might live Rosby Topping because you live a really busy life. You've got tiny little kids. You're having babies all over the place. I know loads of you are. You haven't got any sleep. You're really busy. And it's been like that for me. I've lived on all of these mountains, prayer-wise, on all of them. When I was single and my pockets would jingle before I was married to Margaret, you know, I would live between Everest and Kilimanjaro every day, unless I was ill or something. Because that's what we were doing, right? We were seeking the Lord. We were unemployed or full-time for the Lord. So we had the time. We'd do that. We'd live there. We'd live there. We'd live there. We'd live there. When we had kids, little babies, we didn't. We didn't. But you know something? Once you have, you can always go back whenever you want. And you can jog up Rosby Topping. Doddle. Doddle. Do you think Tom could run a marathon if he wanted to? Yeah. He hasn't been running marathons lately, right? But he knows he can because he has many times. And it's all in him. Do you think I could run a marathon tomorrow? Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to run all the way to Aney. And I don't think I'd make it that far. Do you know why? Because it's not in my brain. It's not in my habit. It's not in my body. It's not, I haven't started anywhere. Actually, here's the cold truth that I really don't want to hear. I could run a marathon, but not now. In a year or 2 years. If I submit myself to Tom's training. Because the truth is, anyone could run a marathon. If they start somewhere and build it up, it's exactly the same with prayer. So, let me just mention morning and evening prayer, and then we'll pray together through the Lord's Prayer. So, you start with the Lord's Prayer, because that's what Jesus started. And then what we'll do is, we've got these little awesome, cool-looking booklets that are just like the Route 61 booklets. These cost us £3 each to print, so I'd like you to pay for them. We're financially, as a church, we're beyond the days of just giving everything away for free. We can't do it at the moment, that's the truth. So I'd like you to pay for what we give you these days. Okay, that costs us £3. I'd like you to give us £3 for it. If you haven't got it tonight, it doesn't matter. You can just drop it through my letterbox, and it'll never see the church bank account. Okay, and then every week, what you'll get, every month, what you'll get is some actual stuff to do, some prayers, and, you know, how to pray them, and some tips and stuff like that. in either morning and evening prayer. I'm just going to mention this. You can just do it yourself at home, right? But I really want to encourage you to start to try and do this every day. If you can try and do a little thing every day, then you'll start to build up, okay? Morning, evening prayer is basically this, just giving the day to the Lord when you wake up and saying it, and saying there's a couple of scriptures, there's a psalm and the Lord's Prayer. That's it. Take you 5 minutes. That's what we do. It's what we've done all our life. When we wake up, usually before we get out of bed, sometimes when I get out of bed, he's busting for the loo. But we go back to bed. We jump back in bed before we make the big mistake of going downstairs or seeing the kids or anything, because it'll never happen. So we force ourselves to stay in bed and say, hold hands and say, who are you? Where's Margaret? No. And that's it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray the Lord's Prayer. And then pray for all our kids. Do. I say, Ian, move over. No, I don't. We pray for all our kids by name. We've got 9 kids. Da, 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 and they've got their own kids. Da, 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 da. You pray for one kid, I pray for the other. You pray for one kid, I pray for the other. It takes less than 5 minutes, because we haven't got 5 minutes in a rush like you. And then we give the day to the Lord. Lord, we give it to you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Amen. That's it. That's called morning prayer. If you've got a little bit more time, you want to do more, well, there's more there. You can say a psalm. And there's a couple of scriptures, famous prophecies from the Bible. I've done you one that takes 5 minutes and one that takes 10 minutes. So if you've got more time, you'll sit down with a coffee and do it. There's 2 more psalms. And you say the Lord's Prayer, and you pray for your family, and you give the day to the Lord. I cannot tell you how much this matters. Don't underestimate any prayer or amount of prayer. When we fail to do this, the difference in our day is shocking. The enemy comes in like a flood. You know, and I can say, you know, I'm not Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the leader of a great revival, the Reformation. Martin Luther, he's a revival leader, right? He's getting battered by the devil, the Catholic Church, and everyone else. But he said, I find that unless I pray for 3 hours a day, the devil gets the victory during the day. Right, I'm not Martin Luther, I'm Martin Riddick. So I say this, I find unless I pray for 5 minutes a day, the devil gets the victory in my day, and it's true. Giving the day to the Lord really matters. Before you go to sleep, when you've finished watching whatever, when you've finished filling the dishwasher, get next to your bed or in your bed and pray. Say the Lord's Prayer or something. Or, you know, there's something to pray there. There's something prescriptive for you to say here. Listen, unless you have a really flowing prayer life, I'd like you to do this. I'm asking you to do this, okay? Unless you've got something flowing already, then this is it. Do this. And you know what? Later, after 6 months, you don't have to be so prescriptive, do you? I have loads of different prayer patterns in my mind. That praying through the Lord's Prayer. I can pray through the Lord's Prayer in 2 hours. I know how to do that. I've done it hundreds of times. I know how to pray through the Lord's Prayer in 10 minutes, in half an hour. I know how to pray through the whole armor of God in 10 minutes, which isn't easy when you pray through it in an hour. Because so much flows in an hour, you end up trying to pack it into your 10 minutes. But you can pray through the whole armor of God, pray through the Beatitudes, pray through a psalm that you know, pray through, I have loads. So when I walk into a room and look at the clock and think, right, I'm switching my phone off, no one's going to ring me, Margaret's back in 2 hours, I'm not fazed. I don't think, 2 hours? Whew, I'll just make a cup of tea. There's loads, I've got lots of choice, right? Because I said me, that's what I've done. I'm a mountaineer. Now, I'm nothing special. This is for you. It's for us. And part of what is for us is for us. It is. So I want to encourage you to do morning and evening prayer. Is that okay? You've listened for long enough. If you haven't got £3, take one anyway. Okay. Should we pray? You know how we'll do it? We'll do this. I love the idea of this, praying to music. Right? You do keep fit to music. You do everything else to music. And this is very biblical. In the temple, when they prayed, there was always choirs singing and music going on, instruments playing. I don't know what they did, but it was atmosphere, right? The Holy Spirit loves music. In the Old Testament, when the prophets prophesied, they would get people, come on, play the music. Come on, David, start playing the music, and the Holy Spirit moves. And so we're going to pray to music, so I'm just going to ask Larry to come up, and he's going to play He's just going to play give us some atmosphere, okay? The music isn't the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit loves music, doesn't he? He does. Okay, I'm just going to get Margaret to pray over us one prayer that we always pray over the kids on the night before we go to bed, and it's a prayer that's in the book, and you can pray it, and then we'll go home, okay?
Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, and Father, I pray, Lord, for each one of us here and for every member of our families, Father. I pray, Father, that you'll bless us all this night while we sleep. Bless our minds and thoughts and dreams, O Lord. Give us only good dreams from you. Bless our hearts and desires. Give us your desires. Bless our physical bodies with health and strength and a long life to follow you. Give us a sound mind, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And cover each one of us in your precious blood. And send your angels to watch over us this night while we sleep. And I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May he turn his face toward you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.